He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Well, Raj, I was ready to talk about a 7-game win streak. I was ready to talk about being undefeated at home.
Yeah.
I was ready to talk about the strides forward that the Lakers are taking here. I was ready to talk about LeBron and AD being incredible. Instead, here's my general analysis on this game.
What the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You know, like, that was a win. You played 48 minutes and 40-something seconds of winning basketball and walk away with a loss because you can't make free throws down the stretch. I hold up, bud.
That's rough. That was a hell of a rough ending. I think I told you before we went live, I didn't even watch the AD free throws. I assumed they were going in. Anthony, he was 9 for 9 from the free throw line before he split a pair, I believe, and then he got the chance again to put it away, and I just assumed he at least would hit one. It's crazy how, like, you know, 1 point changes the whole vibe of not just this game, but like how the season is going. Now you look at the schedule, and before it's like, oh, we have a chance to really put some wins up, really separate yourself from the bottom half of this Western Conference. And then now it's like, oh shoot, you got Denver coming up, you got on the road in Phoenix, you got Oklahoma City coming up in a few games, the Spurs again, who played us really tough. That's just, you know, a terrible loss. And you've been pointing out online how there's future implications of it, but just even in the present moment, it was kind of this huge Dalton Connect coming out party, and the magic kind
another
of
one, yeah.
Yeah, and the magic kind of, you know, came and turned that off tonight. Franz with 15 in the fourth, 37 for the game. We did some wonky stuff with him, put Dalton Connect on him for a little while. It was really kind of strange stuff, but in aggregate, this is just a terrible, terrible loss.
The Lakers played really small this game against a big physical team, and I know some of it is out of necessity. Rui is out. You know, yep. Obviously Wood and Hayes are both out. Koloko only played 10 minutes in this one, which Magic were playing like some two big lineups there for a bit, where you had Mo and Jonathan Isaac out there at the same time. At one point you had like Max at the four, and
out of
like
that,
you mentioned it, like down the stretch you had Franz Wagner, who finished the tonight with in 39 minutes, 37 points, 11 assists, and 6 rebounds. Like,
mm-hmm.
You know, Cam wasn't out there to try to slow him down at all down the stretch. You had D'Lo out there in stretches of the game where you needed stops. It was just, I felt like JJ kind of took this win for granted in some stretches. And I think nothing more summarized that with like the final shot that he drew up, which was for some reason a fall away 2-pointer for AD. Maybe to try to redeem himself for that. Like, it's just a really weird coaching game from this one. And, you know, you mentioned it off the top, how this game is going to hurt later. Last year, like, a win separated being either in the 9 spot or the 7 spot, you know, mm-hmm. or the 9 spot, you know, or the 8 spot or the 6 spot. Like, we're talking about either having to play a game is going to wind up separating either having to play in the play-in with home court advantage and needing to win an extra game in those do or die settings, or potentially not having to play at all, depending on the tiebreakers. At the end of the season, we're going to look back on this. You're going to say, yeah, remember that one stupid loss early in the season that they had to Orlando, or the really, really dumb loss that they had to Detroit, right, where they just didn't show up for that game. Like, those are the things that at the end of the season when you're like, fuck, I really wish we didn't have to play so-and-so. Like, at this point, right now, you look at the standings, it's like Luka waiting for you in the play-in game, potentially, you know? It's like, I don't want to play Luka in the play-in game, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, like, that's where I know fans a lot of time, we've been kind of trained for this, Raj. Like, a lot of the conversation when it comes to the NBA regular season is how, like, games don't matter night in, night out. But in the Western Conference, you're goddamn, like, it's just wrong. Right. All of these games matter in the Western Conference and for playoff seedings and for playoff or play-in opportunities. Like, all of these games are going to matter. And when you drop one where you were up for, like, the vast majority of the game and you led by, like, what was it, 5 with 2 minutes to go? Like,
yeah.
Can't squander those opportunities and not feel them at the end of the season.
And also, just, you know, adding to that, the Lakers are in a, you know, interesting position because their stars are also, actually LeBron James at least is 39 years old. And I remember after the Utah game, you know, we were talking, and I thought that was a game where LeBron never had to put his foot on the pedal. It was a very relaxed kind of win, even though Utah, you know, made it interesting at a few points in the game. Anthony, this was a tough game. Like, Orlando is physical as hell, and LeBron put up 31, 10, and whatever assists he had, and really, I thought, went for it, you know, was really protecting the rim, was getting super physical rebounds, right? Orlando sends a lot of players to the offensive glass, and one of the teams that's really crashed the glass because of how poor of a shooting team they are on most nights. At least tonight they hit a lot of threes, especially Jalen Suggs. But this was a hard LeBron game. You know, you don't really want to waste that either. I know AD is going to be the, you know, the blame. He's going to take most of the blame for this game. And, you know, as he should with missing both free throws. But AD still put up 39, you know what I mean? And again, on hard minutes against this Orlando team, you don't want to waste those type of performances. Waste isn't the right word. But, you want to take advantage of when they, you know, put up those type of numbers. They both combined for, like, almost 80 points in this one. That's a really tough loss to hit, especially just, you know, at the end of the game winner. Like, those are the worst ones, especially, you know, right after you miss two free throws. But I think the LeBron war of attrition part of this too is tough. Right now you're getting both LeBron and AD healthy. They're playing all the games, Anthony. They're playing back-to-backs as well. Orlando was on a second night of a back-to-back. Maybe that matters less for a young team, but this was a physical, tough, grinded-out game. And I was going to come out here, I was ready to say this is one of our best wins. Like, I see, even without Paolo, people have mentioned that consistently. They're playing well. They're well coached. They're super physical. They execute. They just don't shoot the ball well. But obviously tonight that was a different case. We can talk. I guess I could see on our board. Our defense was a large part of that. This is a tough one to take, especially with the mileage that I don't think they were super high minutes, but these were tough, hard fought minutes for our stars.
They combined for 70 points, right? LeBron goes for 31. I made the mistake, the 80-point mistake earlier, too.
I was thinking
that. So it's 70. They combined for 70 points, 19 rebounds, 9 assists, 4 blocks. Mm. It's just killer. I will say this about AD's game tonight, though. 9 boards is kind of low. You know, it's tough. Like, I know he scored 39 and, like, for the most part was incredible. And I know the free throws are going to be what everybody kind of talks about, but I thought he was pretty lazy when it came to defensive rebounding and positioning there. I thought that Orlando created some extra opportunities as a result of that. I think the player who's kind of skating by when it comes to blame in this one is Austin. I thought he was really bad tonight. 3 of 12 from the floor, 1 of 4 from 3-point range, 2 of 5 from the free throw line. Only had 3 assists, was a team low, tied for the team low, -8 tonight. I thought Orlando's really physical defensive, you know, their guards really bothered Austin all game. We're talking about how the Lakers are kind of planning for Austin to be, their point guard moving forward, and how they need to acquire a more physical shooting guard, and you could kind of get away with Austin's non-traditional ball handling because you have LeBron out there, because you have AD out there operating as the hub. But I thought I thought Austin was really struggling to get the offense into their sets on time tonight. He did a lot of that thing where, you know, he was looking to get the ball to AD to get a, you know, for AD to bring the ball up, or getting the ball to LeBron to bring the ball up. He just didn't look comfortable at all out there. And this is the kind of defense he's going to be facing in the playoffs, you know. So maybe not specifically from Jalen Suggs, who is, you know, by many accounts, one of the better, if not the best perimeter defender in the NBA. But like that kind of physical, in your grill, all night kind of defense where officials let some shit go. Like that's what he's going to be dealing with. And to me, like, as much as we want to talk about the free throw is going to happen. Like that's going to happen. LeBron and AD, again, I don't really necessarily trust them down the stretches of games to make free throws. But to me, if I was going to have a macro takeaway from this one, it's Austin needs to be better against that kind of pressure.
He does. And I thought tonight, obviously Austin was a big part of this, but just Orlando's physicality along with the officials letting a lot of contact go. And they let some go on the other side as well.
It's a Seahawks thing, right? Like if you foul on every play, eventually you train the referees to not call stuff.
Seahawks. Yeah. And so, that's a team. They let a lot of physicality go, and I thought that got into Austin's head. And some of those were like pretty blatantly. There were some hard ones on LeBron. I thought LeBron got super frustrated as well. He was driving to the rim. They weren't giving him the call. They were giving Jonathan Isaac a lot of, they were like letting a lot of his contact go. I thought Jalen Suggs was able to basically play, a term you're using, football on, you know, on the perimeter there. I thought he was able to be really physical at the point of attack. And you're right, that's a lot of physicality that they allow. But Austin's very good at kind of getting that contact and, you know, showing that it's a foul and getting to the line. And I thought some of those that calls that he's used to, he didn't get. And it kind of put him, it got him frustrated where, I don't know, was that his first technical of the year, Anthony? I have to look, but I believe
the Lakers were chippy all night. Like LeBron, I thought, was going to get a T at 1.2 tonight.
Yeah. Jalen Suggs, by the way, just enjoying every minute of, you know, of the shots that were going in for him, smiling at the Lakers bench, smiling at the Orlando bench. But his physicality at the point of attack. And I thought our resistance was really bad. There was a play, you know, I think it was D'Lo just let Anthony Black, who it was, just get a layup. And LeBron kind of, you know, I thought, you know, was giving him a message about that on the next play. But tough one for Austin. And that's going to happen. I mean, I kind of still trust Austin to kind of figure that out. I think he's shown enough up there to give a little bit of the benefit of the doubt there. But the point of attack defense has to get better. We gave up switching way too much. Like we just allowed them to get whatever switch they wanted. It was a simple brush screen and we would simply allow whatever defender Franz wanted to guard him. And that's the reason JJ eventually was like, all right, Dalton, you just guard Franz, no more screens. Like we're not guarding any of this. You guard him. And, you know, Franz did what Franz Wagner does, cooked him kind of late there in the fourth.
I want to stay on the guards though, before we move on to like the defense stuff, because you look at the guard play tonight. So Dalton was good, right? You know, 17 points, 7 of 14 from the field, 3 of 7 from 3-point range, mm-hmm. had that one stretch that it was another one of those stretches that got the crowd really going, mm-hmm. Was a +5 on the night. But outside of him, you had Austin, who we just talked about. Gabe Vincent played 14 minutes, didn't get a shot up. Jalen Suggs, man. Like, this is the thing with Gabe. It's like everybody, you know, if we're going to keep on saying how, like, well, Gabe sure tries his ass off on defense, Suggs was freaking punking him all night. Like
Orlando did not see him. They did not see him. They shot right over. Juwan Howard's son, I forgot his name, who's on the Orlando Magic, was shooting right over him as well. Gabe does try. Jet. But there's a point where your height is your height. So like no matter how, you know, perfectly you defend, teams are just going to shoot over you. And his offense, Anthony, is so damaging that bar is just leaning way too far on the side where he's hurting the team.
Let's see. D'Angelo Russell, 23 minutes, 3 of 10 from the field, 1 of 7 from three-point range. Did have 6 assists, was a plus 2 on the night. But, like, if that's your trio of point guards, Austin, D'Lo, and Gabe, that's how you lose a game where LeBron and AD combine for 70. You know, when you have that poor of guard play from all three of them, where Gabe was a complete non-factor offensively and was getting punked defensively. D'Lo still, like, I've given him a ton of credit for the way that he has accepted that six-man role. But eventually, dude, knock down some shots. And, like, he was, like, passing up. There was a possession. I don't know if it was in the third quarter.
Where he swung it to Cam. Was it that one? I forgot which.
No, it was like he was dribbling the ball up, and it was one of those situations where last year he was dribbling the ball up on the right wing, and he picked up his dribble, and the defender ran away from him, and he like went to go like to take the shot, and would have been wide open. Now it was like it would have been like a whatever the 3-point line is. It was like a couple feet behind the 3-point line, but it was a D'Lo shot, you know.
Yeah,
and he didn't take it. The ball swings around, and then you know Austin basically had eight seconds to try to get to the rim. I think he eventually either got to the rim and got fouled, or was contested at the rim, whatever. But it was like D'Lo still doesn't look comfortable, and whoever this player is going to be, you know, we talked about like the kind, or I talked about in yesterday's show is in response to a mailbag question, like how do the Lakers avoid these lulls that they have, whether it's at the starts of games or throughout the game, they need a fifth player in that closing lineup, whether it's Rui who needs to be better defensively, whether it's Max who needs to be better offensively. Maybe it's Vando, but he has his own offensive questions. Maybe it's D'Lo, but he has his defensive questions. And now his comfort level on the court with Austin and LeBron at the same time, whether it's Gabe, who just doesn't want to shoot, whether like we could keep on going down this line. I think the four guys that I think we can comfortably say belong on the court at the beginning and at the end of games is Austin, Dalton, LeBron, and AD. They need that fifth guy. Right. Like it's they're really, you know, fortunate that Dalton is the fourth guy.
Insane.
Because otherwise you would have some questions about like we would be in the same exact spot we were last year. It was like, who's 4 and 5 here? Like,
yeah,
we need to finish. So like the Lakers are kind of getting lucky in that their rookie is ready to step into that fourth spot there. But who's going to be the fifth guy? And I thought tonight, like, as much as I think JJ did some weird stuff over the course of the game and certainly down the stretch of it, to a certain extent, I can't really necessarily blame him because I don't think he knows who that fifth guy is going to be. And he just kept throwing shit at the wall, hoping that somebody would stick. And it just, you know, none of them did. There was no fifth player tonight who looked like they belonged on the court down the stretch of this game.
Yeah. And the sad part is, again, we don't have to discuss Vando, but I mean, and Rui being out, that's what, like, I think $30 million of a year in terms of, you know, wing that's on the bench. You talked about all the questions, Anthony. I have one answer is that I know I do not need to see any more Gabe at small forward or D'Lo at small forward units. Like that is against bad teams. You can get away with it. And I know Orlando can be seen as a bad team, but they're a huge physical team. And like, I thought those stretches, we went up 10, I think I forgot in the fourth or third. And then we went super small. And I thought they came back like right away. They got a lot of corner threes. They got to the rim. And it's just too small a lineup. And I think that's where you're really missing another forward. Again, like I do think Gabe is trying defensively, but if he's your third, like if he's your wing stopper in a unit, there were times where we put him on Franz on purpose. Like, all right, Gabe, go get Franz Wagner. And Franz is like, all right, thank you very much. Like, let me get into the post. Let me get a floater on, you know, let me get to my floater game. We just have one extra guard, and that's been the case for a while now. And like that, maybe can put the six game winning streak even to a better context. But yeah, I'm done with those units at least. And like D'Lo, they said on the broadcast today, Anthony, I was surprised. D'Lo has not scored 20 points yet this season.
Yeah, I saw that. I heard that too.
Yeah, I just looked up. He hasn't scored in. He's only scored in double digits once in his last five games. So, like, he's playing better off the bench, but definitely his offense has tanked in terms of his own scoring. And I think you can even tell when he's playing, he's much more just trying to fill in the flow. I didn't really like the. I don't know about you. I didn't like the sub to put D'Lo in late for like offense. I just that dude was in no rhythm at all to play. But yeah, his offense looks like it's taken a hit for sure. I think he's tried to accept the bench role, but hey, you're gonna lose, you know, the offense production when you cut his minutes from 30 to like whatever they're at now. And the defense is still just, I don't know, D'Lo's already at such a low bar even when he tries, but like when he's not engaged defensively, it sticks out. And I thought tonight was one of those nights.
Maybe this is indicative of a bigger problem, but I thought they needed Cam out there for more minutes. You know, like if I'm sitting here saying, like, you know, down the stretch of the game, it's like, where's Cam? Franz was killing the Lakers, and Cam picked up two fouls early in the game, did knock down a couple of shots. Like, I thought actually kind of composed himself over the course of it, and wound up finishing with only 21 minutes. And again, like, this is one of those, you know, I said earlier on that it felt like JJ was kind of taking this one for granted. Like, I think he was trying to get Max going, and they're really trying to for Max to be that fifth guy. But the problem with Max being the fifth guy is that, like, it forces Dalton or Max to be the small forward, and that makes you really small. I thought, like, against this team, with how physical they were playing, with the way that they were crashing the boards, the Lakers needed more length and athleticism out there, and I didn't understand why Cam was out there. It was weird. He subbed in, played like two possessions, and then was taken right out. I went back and I tried to look like the reason that Cam would be taken out, and I didn't really see it. I don't know if JJ thought they needed more offense or what, but the problem with bringing D'Angelo Russell in for offense when you have Austin and LeBron and AD out there is D'Lo, like, he has told you now for years, plural, he is not a floor spacer. He is not a catch and shoot type of guy. He is just not comfortable doing that. So if you're putting D'Lo out there for the sake of the other team, like, you know, racing to contest on D'Lo, it's just not going to happen. Like, D'Lo, at this point, he does this pump fake. It's like this way overstated pump fake that he does. And it's like, no, man, just shoot.
Cover shot.
Yeah, just shoot. Like, you know, just hop into your shot and let it rip with a little bit of confidence. And he's not shooting with any confidence. So it's like, so you're going to play either a D'Lo with no confidence offensively and no rhythm offensively, with all the defensive questions that he's going to have. I'd rather bank on the guy who I know is going to at least compete defensively, you know, and has the physical tools to compete and impact the game defensively.
Yeah, I thought this was a game for your large adult son, honestly. I thought Max should have played more. He played 25 minutes, and I was like, that dude's 21. Like, let him play the third, let him play the fourth. That dude can play. I thought he was the best kind of help defender. He was doing, you know, he was helping the helper a lot. He was being physical down there with Goga, who again was not playing basketball in some possessions, I thought. But Max was really good on the boards. He was two-hand rebounding. I thought he was cutting nicely. I don't even think he took a three. All his shots were like at the rim, dunk attempts or layup attempts. But I would like to see Max play more. We played a little Max and Cam together, and I like that. I just more get some defense, get some athleticism, get some point of attack, you know, defense out there. But JJ wanted to, you know, go with the offense. He leaned into that again, and I thought he could live with kind of Franz taking tough shots. And honestly, like, it almost worked out. Franz hit a tough three on one end. He hit some tough floaters over AD. And again, you hit your free throws, Anthony. It's funny, we're not talking about any of this, right? We're talking about a 7-game win streak. We're talking about, you know, Dalton's ascension. We're talking about, you know, how, when's the last time they won 7 games in a row. So yeah, it sucks that this is the vibe after, you know, them playing pretty good basketball with, you know, some starters out, and basically adding a whole new rotation player in Dalton through this stretch. But rough one.
Well, it just, it was one. All right, so silver lining to this. this team has gotten me to the point where I care again. You know, like game ended and I sat there in silence for a solid like 3 minutes, you know, knowing that it's like, shit, I got to go set up the show. I got to set up the graphics. I got to set up the background. I got to set up all these things. Knowing that I needed to do that, I just like sat there on my couch with my ears ringing because like, oh, you know, like I haven't felt that in a little while. So if we're looking for like silver linings here, it's that like this team through that run, through that winning streak, it because of what we've seen from Dalton, like that window is starting to kind of like crack open a little bit, you know, but what this game I thought serves as a reminder for is that like this team clearly, this roster clearly needs a few extra ingredients. You can't have a Gabe on your team who is just a complete non-factor offensively. And he's way too small to play the kind of defense that, you know, he would need to play to make up for how bad he is offensively. You can't have a D'Lo who, like, his super strength is going, you know, ballistic and dropping 12 points in like five possessions. When was the last time he scored 12 points, or how often has he gotten to 12 points this season? You know, the stretch has been fun. This stretch has, you know, I think reminded us what LeBron and AD are capable of. But I think what tonight's game should, you know, tell people is that, like, you know, job's not finished, right? Like, there's still a lot of work that that Rob needs to do.
100%. And again, like, there's a different universe here where AD makes both. And again, our conversations are, we have the best duo in the league. You know, like, that's more the vibe.
I still would have been. I mean, I
would have been upset though, for sure.
You know, like, you know, I would be making these points and the comment section would be like, just shut the fuck up, Anthony.
For sure.
Like,
for
you know, sure. So like, but like, you know, cause Raj, like I want Austin to be, I have wanted Austin to be the point guard for years now, plural. I have wanted them to supply him with a point of attack defender who can knock down threes.
It feels like a low bar. Like, it doesn't feel like that high of a bar to find.
Yeah.
But
like there's a version of this team that I could really, really buy into, and it's just not there yet. And I'm not saying how many did they win in a row? Six.
Mm-hmm.
The last six wins, they aren't fool's gold, but they also were like, you know, there were clear notes that you could, you know, have with each game to this point. And it's like, yeah, you got to win the games that are in front of you. But like thinking that this was some finished product, like, if Rob, I saw that Rob did an interview the other day with Spectrum. And normally that's what he does when he's like, look at what we did here.
Got him.
look at this team. How good did I do? Geeter, give me high five. You know, like, it's like, no, man, like, we're still waiting for a fifth player in the closing lineups here. Rui isn't that guy. Like, he doesn't play defense consistently enough to be that. Max isn't that guy. I want Max to be that guy, and they need Max to be that guy to a certain extent. But he isn't, because for whatever reason he forgot how to shoot, and that's kind of hurting. It can't be Gabe, because, you know, this isn't the yellow brick road, and Lil Munchkins can't play in this league and not score. It can't be D'Lo, because he is still clearly kind of figuring out how to thrive in this role, and like, he can't look uncomfortable. Like, the fifth player in that group can't look uncomfortable offensively because he doesn't have the ball in his hands. So it can't be D'Lo. Just like, who is that fifth guy going to be? Is that fifth guy currently playing for the Brooklyn Nets? Is that fifth guy currently playing for the Washington Wizards? Whatever this team might look like I was really kind of hoping we would get some Koloko AD minutes tonight because of the type of front court that Washington had out there. And because of how physically Orlando was in crashing the boards. But like, it's just,
yeah,
it's, I'm also asking for Christian Coloco, which I think is kind of like indicative of the issue.
He's solid. Like, no, there's nothing fancy about him. He just rebounds, runs the floor, finishes, you know, when he gets the ball. Again, I feel like backup bigs, that should be their job anyway. D'Lo, by the way, shooting 30% from three on the season, which again, that's going to pick up eventually. At least it should. He's two for his last 20. I do my math right. Two for his last 15 from three, which, that's rough. But again, what I meant by like it would feel different is I think the Dalton stuff also would feel different if they lost against New Orleans, right? Or like if those games turned out to be losses, I feel like those games would just feel, the vibe would feel different. But Lakers still, I think they have the best, they could have the best duo in the league. And yeah, there's the fifth guy's not there. My main thing with this, Anthony, is like the Lakers are in a position where they need to rack up early season wins. So they're not fighting for a play-in spot. That's like my main concern. The seeding will figure itself out in terms of that, but like, that's the main thing they should be rooting for. And yeah, giving up these losses, you know, early to teams that you won this game. Like, this was a game that you should have won. Five free throws down the stretch that you missed, I believe in the final 3 minutes or whatever it was, you gave this game away. And Orlando fought hard. Franz Wagner fought hard. The fifth guy, I think this team is good enough right now. They're not a contender status. But then you look at the West, Anthony. It's like the number one seed is the Warriors. Who looked at that roster and was like, that's a title contender. I don't think most people did. Number two seed is the Houston Rockets. Mm-hmm. They're led by a bunch of young players, right?
OKC just got Hartenstein back. I think they're about to go on a run. I think we're about to watch like OKC rack up, like do what you're talking about and rack up. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if we look up and OKC wins like 10 in a row.
Sure. They might. They definitely have the roster, and you know, Shea's, you know, going to be in MVP conversations again. But again, that's a team I think the Lakers find themselves in good position against if they play them. But you just look down, I mean, the West, Houston Rockets are kept, the Suns are without KD for a while. So again, this is a chance. Minnesota just lost tonight in Utah, and some weird stuff happened with Gobert again with him and Julius Randle. So like, the West is also in this like place where a lot of teams are kind of a piece or two away. And I feel like the Lakers are finding out, like, if Dalton's real, then yeah, these are like, if you can find one wing and really a backup center, and I think this team is cooking with some grease. Even if D'Lo's on the team, I think his production becomes less and less a necessity than it is now. But yeah, that's what makes it so tough, Anthony. We should be talking about a 7-game win streak like this. Like, we should not be, we should be talking about that. We should be talking about how, like, you have a chance to beat Denver, who is playing okay basketball. Like, they're not playing great. They were on, like, a 3-game win streak and then lost recently. I forgot who the team was. That should be the conversation. It should be about Dalton connecting, Anthony having 17 points, hit three threes against a team that was face guarding him the whole night. Mm-hmm. The Spectrum, for some reason, their mics have gotten really hot in the recent, like, games. And the whole game, all I hear is the other team's coach. So Jamal Mosley is absolutely screaming every time Dalton Connect is like an inch open. He's like, get up, get up, yep, get up, like super loud. So I wish
but that's what makes the fifth guy like so frustrating, is like that kind of fire alarm shooter completely unlocks what JJ's offense can be. Right? Like, it completely changes the math.